to sand. The vultures of man, all humans on this planet be originally African. Woke up in a tent, be nothing but a scam man. Africans, it's time to overstand their master plan. The World Cup's a charade, South Africa's getting played. Big business, that's just really getting paid.
Welcome to the People's Game. I'm Alan Minsky, and on today's show, we're going to be having a roundtable discussion with Tony Presido and Jennifer Doyle and Fernando Romero. Yes, it was a good day for the Switzerlands, the Switzerland of South America, Uruguay. Well, they put the party to sleep as they knocked off South Africa 3-0. And before that, Switzerland with the absolutely stunning surprise result of the tournament to date, a 1-0 victory over co-favorite Spain. We'll be talking with Lazar Trishan about Uruguay's victory, and then we're going to hear the people behind the song that you're hearing underneath me right now, Nomadic Wax. The song is called World Cup, and there are a load of people involved in it. And Jennifer Doyle will be talking to the producers of the song later in the hour. All that and more on The People's Game. Le mondial, on est loin d'un monde idéal. Le foot et la FIFA n'effaceront pas la haine raciale. Les uns tapent le ballon pour des millions, les autres joueront pieds nus, goûteront la chaleur du goudron. Ouais, la haine, la du réalité. Well, as of yesterday on The People's Game, I heralded the Brazil-North Korea match as the highlight of the tournament to date. Well, I think we have two highlights that, for one person in studio, was a heavy, heavy low light, and then for the entire nation of South Africa, an incredible low light followed. Very dramatic day in the 2010 World Cup. Right now, we have a roundtable discussion here with Tony Presido, the host of Football Popular, and Jennifer Doyle, co-host along with me of The People's Game. And Tony is, of course, a diehard fan of Spain, one of the prohibitive tournament favorites, hit a wall today, the wall known as Switzerland. Yeah. No tunnels underneath these Alps for Spain. Just a wall. What happened, Tony?
Well, I think basically what happened was Del Bosque came out with a lineup that I really don't think was just fundamentally cannot work against their defensive system. I mean, he came out with one forward. And he was just, you know, hopeless up there. I'm speaking about David Villa. Right. And it wasn't until they put Torres and Navas in the second half that you started to see them just dump balls up front, which is what they should have been doing from the beginning. You know, instead they played around with the ball for the entire first half and 10 minutes into the second half, and it grounded them. You know, and obviously Switzerland scored on a half-assed chance, a defensive blunder right from the middle, Puyol and Busquets, who play together all the time, and they just couldn't get it together. And then I really don't understand how Casillas could come out feet first, 10 yards away from the goal. I mean, I play goalie. You do that, that ball is going to carom off somebody and go right back towards the goal. You only do that when you're coming way out of your, you know, either out of your box or 20 yards out or whatever. So it's just bad luck, bad timing, bad lineup, just bad.
One of the things I've heard speculated is if you look at the Spanish side, right, you have a lot of players who played a heck of a lot of games this past year, right? So you look at the top European sides, the players from Barcelona, Chelsea, Manchester United, obviously Inter Milan, the teams that went deep in all the tournaments, Bayern Munich, and you're looking at exhausted players. They certainly seem flat.
Yeah, Iniesta, Piqué, all these guys look – they look startled. I mean, they moved the ball around great in the first half, but when it came down to those like moments of just, you know, where you had to determine your fate, like, you know, where you had to play the ball out, where you had to clear, where you had to punch it into the box, they were just flat today. It just wasn't happening. And yeah, I do attribute that a lot to the just being worn down from the season.
Right, because if you look at sides like Switzerland, you're looking at very few players who are playing any more than just their league schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, to go a little bit against that, though, I mean, just it's not like they have been playing up until 2 weeks ago. And sometimes when you've been, like, if you've just gotten a bit, you know, 3-4 weeks of rest, you should still be kind of in a rhythm, you know? So, I mean, sometimes, you know, we can come up with this kind of theory for why everything collapsed, which has to do with their exhaustion after having led these tremendous campaigns. But I still don't buy it. I mean, I actually thought they looked almost too relaxed and like they were missing a certain degree of concentration. I was surprised. I thought it was possible they might lose just because that often can happen with a team that's been so hyped up.
Right. Yeah.
That kind of poisons your consciousness as a player, I think, perhaps. The Twitter feeds were trying to recover this with a story of this is what Spain needs.
I actually agree with that, that Spain does need – Spain has often gotten into the second rounds of a lot of these tournaments easily, you know, dominating their group and getting in easily. And I think it doesn't harden them enough to get into those next rounds where they play Brazil or Argentina or Italy or whoever.
Yeah.
And so in some ways – this is a reality check for Spain. Spain's got to win the next two games. They have to win them with, you know, in command,
yeah.
and then just say whoever comes to the table in the next round, let it be Brazil, let it be Argentina, let it be whoever. They have to really just
well,
a wake up call.
It's true. Blowing away their opponents in the first round of World Cups hasn't worked for Spain.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe
we've been here before with this team. You know, obviously they're underachieving. Not putting it away when they have to, you know. We've been here before, you know.
Yeah, I'm still romanced by the performance in Euro.
Yeah, me.
I mean, that was they were incredible,
yeah.
And I'm imagining, you know, right. I think coming into this, I was sort of fantasizing that that's the team that would be taking the field.
Well, especially, you know, obviously as a lifelong partisan of the Italian side, I certainly know that the top teams, they're under a microscope, this Spanish side, like they've never been before. And so the first opponent, Switzerland, they had a very solid game plan to take on Spain, to take on this particular side. They know how they're going to play, right? So they put their brain trust into defeating, really concentrating for weeks, months on, you know, and ahead of this match. And one of the things I will say about Italy is, of course, Italy has always been a bit of a conundrum to focus upon because even though they're heavy favorites, they absorb and counterattack.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a very positive Spanish side.
Well, I really think with Italy, that's different than Spain, at least, you know, historically, is that Italy just thinks they're going to win. I mean, it's just an inherent belief that they have, no matter how poorly they're playing, they just think they're going to win. And
it's annoying.
It is really, it's annoying. And as I've told Alan
before, World Cups.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
As I've told Alan.
Well, a few for Mussolini's days.
Yeah. I've told Alan before, I feel it's a little cynical, but at the same time, they get it done. And that's something that Spain, I thought, might be acquiring that same attitude after the Euro and having all these guys play in England and stuff. I thought they would acquire the same kind of, like, hardened attitude. But they didn't show it today at all, you know. And I'm incredibly disappointed, but, you know.
They seem like a young side somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The glow is off the jewel, as it were, now, and we'll see how they rebound.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now that means there's going to be even more focus on teams like Germany who performed really well in the first round, but the pressure will be on in the next match. And they go right over to play Honduras, and I thought that was interesting because that's a team that I would like to focus on. They lost their first match today, and now they really get to be under the global spotlight. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think Honduras ever expected their second match against Spain will have the eyes of the entire football world on it.
Well,
Tony, one final question, because after all, this is a show that's not just about the game on the field, but also about football, about football's relationship to humanity.
Yeah.
How do you think the people of Spain are doing right now? What happens to a country with this kind of result when they're a country of football fans?
I mean, having been, you know, growing up around Spanish people, they're probably, I would say, 90% of the population saying this is exactly what I expected. I would say that's what most of them are saying because that is a typical Spanish trait, at least in my household and other households that I've been around. It's just they expect to be disappointed. And,
well, you know, after September 11th, right, they declared the end of the age of irony, the mainstream, whatever, junk press, the New York Times.
Right.
Right. The end of the age of irony. Well, 2008 was supposed to be the end of Spanish, we will always lose attitude. You had Nadal. Mm-hmm. Did you win the Tour de France that year? I don't know.
I think the basketball team won the World Championships around that time. Yeah.
And then, of course, Spain won the Euros, most importantly. Right. But alas, apparently, the old attitude has stuck.
It's coming, rearing its head once again.
You know, but that's actually, I mean, when I think about it, that attitude marks a lot of fan relationships to their national teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mexico, France, I think we'll be talking about later.
Yeah.
Right. We're all basically expecting to be let down.
Right. I know the English, of course.
Of course. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, in Italy, you know, between 82 in 2006. I remember that. Did I mention that they won four World Cups?
Yes, you have. I think that's the third time.
But between 82 and 2006, with all the close calls, right, uh-huh. finals and 90, they didn't let a goal in until the semis, and then they lost. And all the defeats on penalty kicks, it had begun to be that, you know, we'll just lose. We'll lose tragically.
Yeah.
You know, and lose unfairly because of Italians on the soccer pitch have a massive persecution.
It's the melodrama of the sports fan.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think that this is where we have the kind of male melodrama, the zone of bring out your handkerchief and cry and wail, or, you know, the epic life-defining disappointment. This is, I think, as much defines fandom as nearly anything else. And sometimes I think actually that sense of disappointment, lifelong disappointment, is weirdly the thing that binds people to certain teams. Like, I'm going to love them in spite of the fact that they've never brought home this or that, you know.
Yeah.
So my love is truer. My love is deeper
that
for that.
That speaks for every team in the EPL.
Well, I hate to be
other than Man U and Chelsea.
I hate to be a damn nativist Yankee here. Mm. Well, I'm mixing metaphors here because of the Boston Red Sox, not the Yankees. I rooted against them for loving them. And then when they finally won the World Series after 80-whatever years, the romance was off the side.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So there we love the Spanish team, and we can continue loving them after today.
Well, they are the best-looking side, pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I'll take that as a compliment.
Turning down the temperature in the studio here, let's move forward and get Tony's impressions on the tournament, if you can think through the agony of today's Spanish result.
Actually, I have a real specific question for Tony, because I know Tony is a goalkeeper, and goalkeeping has been a big story in this World Cup.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Could you speak a little bit to that?
Honestly, a big part of goalkeeping, actually the biggest part of goalkeeping, is confidence. And what I'm seeing, these guys are just, they're unsettled by, you know, especially in these first games where the first round games where they're really looking for that result that keeps them in the hunt in their group. You're just seeing a lack of confidence in a lot of these goalies, especially coming out on crosses, on easy shots where, you know, it's almost like they're frozen at the moment where they need to react. They're frozen and they've made some mistakes. I've counted at least six howlers, which for everyone out there, a howler is a goalkeeping mistake. And I've counted at least six or seven in the games that I've watched, you know.
Yeah.
In all due respect to everybody else, nothing touches Robert Green. I mean, that was...
I mean, he has one of the most famous howlers in history, the one in England where he pushed the ball out of his hand in front of him to clear it with his foot, and then he didn't know that there was a forward behind him, and the guy ran up from around his side, poked the ball in. I mean, one of the worst goalkeeping mistakes in history, and all these, like, blooper reels, they run it all the time, you know, so it's like... But I really think it's nerves, honestly, because to me, I haven't played for as long as I have. If you're nervous, if you're not confident, there's a really good chance you're going to make a mistake, a big mistake too.
So you don't put much truck in the whole
in the ball
thing,
No. A lot of these guys, regardless of what type ball they're using, a lot of these guys, you know, they hit the ball, you know, in ways to give it that weird dipping effect or curving effect. People like Ronaldo and stuff, they're practicing to make the ball move in that fashion. Whether it's the new ball or an old ball, that's what they do. So goalies got to be ready for it. I mean, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Right.
Right. There was a goal that was let in by the then Portuguese goaltender last World Cup. I think it was actually in the third place match.
Mm-hmm.
But he was straight onto the middle of the net, but it warbled so much, he just looked like a fool and missed the whole thing.
But I don't think the goals that went, especially the Robert Green goal and then the goal that was scored on the Algerian goalie, I can't remember his name, those balls didn't look like they had much of an effect on them. They just looked like they were misplayed, and that's it.
And that second goal, of course, the first one as well, actually, those two plays have really wreaked havoc in terms of the standings of that particular division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now, you know, going into the USA-Slovenian match, I mean, Slovenia is sitting super pretty
because
of this one error.
Yeah.
I got to say, I've been doing a little conceptual experiment where I've been matching up artists with countries and then doing the World Cup chart that way. And with Marina Abramović, who has a major show at MoMA right now, she's Slovenian.
Right.
I see Slovenia based on the strength of their contemporary art artists representing them in my imaginary conceptual World Cup. They go on a strong run.
Well, they have to because Slavoj Žižek, who we interviewed for the show, the Slovenian Lacanian film critic and philosopher, declared that they're a terrible team and didn't belong, so they're bound to succeed.
Yeah,
they're a rock-solid team and the type of team very difficult for USA, I think, to break down or at least to stay on top of.
Yeah.
This is The People's Game. I'm Alan Minsky, and I'm joined in studio by...
Jennifer Doyle.
Tony Presedo.
And now Fernando Romero. And Fernando Romero is the producer of The People's Game and also the person we turn to for passionate partisan insight to L3, the Mexico national side. We're recording here in Southern California. Tomorrow is one of the hugest matches, again, for all the soccer fans in the region. It is Mexico-France, the second game in the first round. And, of course, the four teams came out of the first set of games, all with 1 point. Now we have Uruguay with 4 points, South Africa with 1 point in two games. France and Mexico face off tomorrow.
Yeah, I think with the win by Uruguay, what that means for France and Mexico, that means it's gonna, they're going to be coming out tomorrow, just swinging. It's going to be like a heavyweight title fight. They're going to, like, right from the kickoff, it's going to be, because it's going to be do or die for these two. I think Mexico will probably go with the same lineup that they had last game when they played South Africa. Whereas at France, I mean, I'm assuming they probably have to change up just so they can change the strategy. I wouldn't be surprised if Henry came on, and specifically the lineup up front. I think the front lineup they'll have to make a change at some point, and I'm guessing tomorrow's going to be the time to do that.
Yeah, I expect to see more Florent Malouda too. Mm-hmm. What do you expect from Mexico?
I think Mexico, like I said, I think they're going to stay with the same lineup. I might see, if anything, Guillermo Franco might be coming out for Javier Hernandez just because Franco's been – it's not his moment. He seems out of shape. He seemed out of shape against South Africa. So if anything, I expect to see that. Besides, it'll be pretty much the same team that they had against South Africa.
Yeah, I would think Franco will get nowhere against the French back line. They're not going to win any balls in the air. Franco's more of a target man in terms of balls in the air. I think the way to attack is to keep the ball on the ground against a pretty tall and not particularly overly agile, low-to-the-ground French defense. But you never know. I wouldn't be surprised if Franco goes out there. I was wondering if him, given that large role in the first game, did signify that he is the coach's favorite.
I have to say, I get depressed just thinking about France. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Les Bleus. Mm-hmm. I really am. I would like to see them do well. I remember this from the last World Cup. At this point in the last World Cup, the entire nation of France and francophones all over the world who root for Les Bleus were despairing. The headlines were ruthless, and... And it was a crisis of existential crisis on the team, and they're close to that now. Although it does seem to be really concentrated around Dominic, and I don't know if it can be overcome this time.
No, he's a convenient fall guy.
So I'm interested in this match too because I think I've mentioned this before when we've been talking about sort of attitudes about football in the Americas, not only the U.S. but also Mexico gets shortchanged, I think, in conversations about international football. So. There's a part of me that does want to see Mexico triumph over France, even though I'm a fan of Les Bleus, but just because I'm so sick of the way in which Mexican football gets dismissed as kind of crazy, crazy football that doesn't need to be taken seriously in a way that just more or less mirrors European attitudes about Mexicans in general. So I'd like to see that checked with a solid performance from the El Tri.
Perhaps the least compelling result, though, for the third set of first-round games would be a Mexico win. Because then you'd have the prospect of Uruguay and Mexico passing the ball at midfield back and forth to each other in order for both teams to advance.
That would be – if Mexico did win, I think that would be the case because, I mean, what you have to think about is for the second round, they'll probably face off against Argentina. So I'm assuming one of those two will want either Mexico – they will be vying for that first place. Right. I wouldn't be surprised because it's most likely that Argentina will probably take Group B. So I'm assuming if Mexico did win tomorrow, they would probably do that.
I don't know if I feel that way about Argentina, by the way. They play South Korea tomorrow, and what I see is a huge match because South Korea were seemed to be a very strong, solid, competent in all positions team. I was nonplussed about Argentina, actually, and that game will actually take place before Mexico-France, so maybe it's possible that teams would be looking forward to facing South Korea. I know the most football people in the world think that's a long shot, but I wouldn't be surprised at an upset with South Korea and Argentina. And again, just want to say, again, one of the subtexts of this show, recording here in Southern California, is just how incredibly diverse soccer culture is here in Southern California. I can tell you that there's an Argentine cultural center. Mm-hmm. This will be 4:30 in the morning in Los Angeles up in Burbank. That will be packed. This is a huge old Quonset hut. Seats about 500 people, and probably about 1,500 will show up. All diehard, well, all Argentinians, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I believe outside Radio Korea on Wilshire tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the Red Devil Army will be there.
I think I might be dragged there again by my friends.
Have you been there already?
Yeah, I was. And let me tell you, it was an enormous amount of fun. And I really recommend it for people living around K-Town and Hollywood, that it's a short, quick trip. It's right next to the metro stop on Wilshire. And it's a great atmosphere, really fun.
I actually wanted to ask a quick question about the Mexican team. Why is Ochoa not starting in goal? This is he's in all these ads all over the whole.
Yeah, you'll be watching the halftime during the game, and you'll see Ochoa doing like a bunch of commercials. But Coach Aguirre was criticized heavily for calling up Oscar Perez and giving the starting position. He's going to start tomorrow, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
and he gave him that position specifically for his experience. He was a starting goalkeeper in 2002 when Aguirre was the coach. And nonetheless, I think Perez, out of all the three goalies, I think he has, well, obviously the most experience, but he also has command of his teammates. He's talking to his teammates. He also has the best, actually, the vertical leap out of all three goalies. Mm-hmm. So He's solid, but nonetheless, I think everybody else, Ochoa, everybody thought he would have.
Yeah. It really struck me when I started seeing all those ads. I'm like, he's not even starting, you know.
We talk about the result if Mexico wins. If Mexico loses tomorrow, and I suppose the betting line must be that they're not the favorites and that France draws probably as likely as a France victory, and Mexico victory is a long shot in terms of international betting lines. But if Mexico loses, they have an incredible uphill climb. They have to face Uruguay, defeat Uruguay, a side famous for its defensive skills, by multiple goals, right? At least two goals, because they're going to lose at least one goal if they lose. They'll be four goals down. So just to swing it, they'll have to win by at least two goals.
Yeah,
they'll be up against it if they
lose. It'll be an uphill battle. I think Mexico has a history of disappointing. And at the world stage, I think if they did lose tomorrow, I think nonetheless it will come out swinging against Uruguay, even if they do tie or win. Mm. But I honestly see this team very strong.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love the way Mexico looks right now. It is a sort of quiet confidence, whereas at other World Cups and other tournaments I've seen them, and there's a sort of weird nervousness, and they played really well in all the pregame and the friendlies leading up to the tournament, and they look good. They look like a good team, and I picked Uruguay and Mexico to advance already, you know, so it's kind of like it's shaping up to be that to me. So let's see what happens tomorrow.
Right. Well, it'll be very, very intriguing.
I should say that in my conceptual World Cup in which artists are playing representing their sides, I had Frida Kahlo for Mexico and then Sophie Kahl for France. Frida takes it pretty convincingly.
Yeah.
Well, how far does Frida go in your tournament?
That's another.
And Frida Kahlo is a conceptual artist? I challenge
that. No, it's my conceptual World Cup.
Oh.
Okay.
I have a separate conceptual World Cup in which the women's teams represent the men's teams in this World Cup. And then I should say that France does take Mexico in that one because France has a pretty decent women's side.
And this is conceptual art.
Definitely.
Well, Fernando Romero, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
Producer of the show, Jennifer Doyle, co-host of the show.
And blogger at fromaleftwing.blogspot.com.
And Tony Presido, co-host of Football Popular. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Alan Minsky, and we'll be right back with Lazar Trishan, diehard, sky high, sky blue Uruguayan fan. Elle a répondu, combien de fois je me suis relevé. Depuis, l'eau a bien coulé sous les ponts. La terre mère accueille enfin les champions des petits et grands ponts. Abat les armes en salle de fierté, et même dans le drame, on reste fort. On les éperfroid. This is The People's Game. I'm Alan Minsky.
And I'm Jennifer Doyle.
And we are speaking with Lazar Trishan, who is the mastermind behind the blog NoMoreOnionBags.com and a sky-high, sky-blue Uruguayan fan. How does it feel to be hated by the entire world and on top of the world at the same time, Lazar?
Bittersweet, but thrilling. Thrilling. I did get a couple texts from friends in South Africa who said, thanks for ruining our party. But I can't feel too bad about it.
So what do you make of this? This was almost like the mirror opposite of the performance against France by your side, Uruguay.
Well, amazingly and excitingly, everything went according to plan. Our coach, you have to give him credit. You know, he saw that France is a little more talented than us, so we went for the draw. We played two strikers, we played five defenders, and just ball winners in midfield and went for 0-0 and got that. And then we saw our chance. And so this game we played with three strikers, and you have to give him credit. He decided to roll the dice a little, saw the chance to win, and we put out an offensive lineup, went for it, and dominated. It's crazy when things work according to plan.
Yeah, it's actually a good occasion too for those who are sort of newer to the game to get a sense of how strategy works in a tournament like this. That people aren't out necessarily to win every game. The big goal is to get through to the next round, and so that requires not losing points, basically. So I think that makes a lot of sense as an explanation for why that match against France was so deadly boring.
Yeah, and it's just exciting because, you know, as you saw with Spain and Switzerland, when you see weakness, you got to go for it. And Spain put out a side with two defensive midfielders against a team that wasn't going to attack them, and they got really unlucky to go down a goal. And it was, you know, when they decided to put on a second striker, it was too late. But you know, it's a tactical game. You gotta pick your spots. And Uruguay knew that from France, they just had to get a point, and that against South Africa, they needed three. And it's great to see that happen.
There's something mathematically, or at least arithmetically logical, about first year, 20th year, 80th year, don't you think?
First year, 20th year, 80th year.
You mean that's the riddle. 1930, 1950, 2010.
Oh yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah. You know, we're just hoping to get to the second round. Although, if you do have overseas people, where gambling is legal, I would put your money on Uruguay to the semifinals. Because if we win the group, it's Nigeria and then probably Ghana, all that stand in our way to the semis. And I think we're really sitting pretty. We are.
What you're saying is basically impossible for Uruguayans to travel to the African continent for the next few years.
Exactly. We will cut a swath through Africa as we make our way to the semifinal.
Yeah. Do you want to comment a little bit about South Africa's performance in today's game?
Everybody wants to root for South Africa, and I certainly am sympathetic to them. I was not impressed with their coach. You know, it came down to two coaches who made very different decisions. Mm-hmm. But Ada really did not appear to want 3 points. You know, even when they went down, he refused to put a second striker on. That poor Mfela was all by himself.
Yeah.
And when they got the red card and had to take a player off to put in the goalie, they took out Pienaar, you know, their most creative player, their most dangerous player. You know, I think the South African fans deserved a little more than that. I mean, to at least go for it. I guess he's thinking that 3 points are easier against Mexico, but I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, the first half of the game against Mexico, I mean, the entire South African side seemed to play stopper. I mean, we were really not attacking in that first half. The second half was a completely different story, but I feel like we saw that kind of first half game a little bit today, so... which is a shame. I think it was I think it was disappointing, but it's also an awful reality check in terms of the kind of difference in the levels of the teams. And I think we really did see actually a certain lack of experience showing, at least in the management side of the team today.
Yeah, and while, you know, it could come off the wrong way, I think we saw a little bit of the good side of the Uruguayan sort of confidence and arrogance about soccer come out. I mean, we don't, you know, we talked about on the last podcast, we don't have a great enganche, sort of attacking midfielder link forward, the forwards and midfielders. So instead, we took our best player, one of our forwards, Forlan, and made him the enganche and put in two other forwards. And I think, you know, he was clearly the best player on the field. And when you have a truly world-class player, and let's face it, we really only have one, you know, really terrific player, you know, his quality today, not just the goals, but, you know, some of those touches, those receives, I just don't think South Africa was prepared to deal with a with a player like that with so much confidence who could just bring all of his teammates into the game.
Right, and having him on the front line back to the goal, he never would have been there to take the first shot, which, of course, opened the game up.
Exactly. I mean, where he receives that ball, if he's one of the two forwards, the defenders come get him, but because there were already two other forwards, they had to stay back. Mm-hmm. He's got that little space. You know, we got a little lucky, got deflected, and then took a what I call a Jabulani dip. I don't know if you've noticed these balls. They just shoot straight down sometimes. Apparently, Adidas put in more grooves. So like that one that hit the Serbian in the hand, which the guy thinks it's going over his head and then shoots straight down and hits him in the hand. Yeah. You know, the goalkeeper thinks that ball is flying over and it just shoots straight down over. But hey, you know, that's why you take shots, because anything can happen.
Yeah, they're saying some people are comparing it to a doctored baseball.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's crazy the way it does it. I've never seen anything like that Serbian handball.
Yeah.
You know, the guy clearly jumps to head it, realizes he's not going to get anywhere near it, and turns to look at the offensive player, and then the ball just shoots down and hits him in the hand. Really, really unfortunate, even though I was rooting for Ghana.
Lazar Trishan from NoMoreOnionBags.com, thank you, and all of Uruguay dancing in the streets, no?
Absolutely. All the 3 million Uruguayans and then the many more million Uruguayans who live all over the world, we're all very excited.
Thank you so much for joining us again on The People's Game.
My pleasure.
Nomadic Wax. DJ Neil.
Yeah.
FIFA World Cup
2010. África do Sul.
Africa. Yeah.
Mundial.
Sol Mundial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
South Africa.
Worldwide, homie.
Funk Nouveau.
Welcome to the land of the sand, the birthplace of man. All humans on this planet be originally African.
So I'm here with McGee McIlvain to talk about a Nomadic Wax project, which is a kind of epic 12-minute track about the World Cup. This is, to my mind, one of the most interesting musical responses to the World Cup, partly because it speaks to contemporary African music and not music which seems to actually represent the idea of Africa, kind of European idea of Africa, to an always already configured public space. So, McGee, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you came up with this idea to come up with this collaborative project, bringing together 15 MCs from all over the world to speak to the World Cup.
Sure. It's kind of a funny story because initially I had no intention of working on some sort of song or almost at this point cliche project especially for the World Cup, because just about everybody has been doing that and to varying levels of disaster.
Yeah.
Probably the worst one that I've heard being R. Kelly's version of a World Cup song. I had no idea that he played soccer. And so, you know, we really weren't that interested in doing something like this and in putting out something that everyone else was doing for the World Cup and trying to jump on the bandwagon of so much of a spotlight being put on Africa, specifically as an entire continent, and, you know, for good and for bad. But then, you know, I was working on a separate project with one of the South African artists who's on the track, Emil YX from Black Noise, who's kind of a legendary artist and activist in South Africa doing hip hop well before the end of apartheid, so as early as the 80s. So he's been involved in the scene there, both musically but also politically, for a long time, and we're working on an artist exchange program actually from Cape Town to Washington D.C. This July, and we were going through all these hurdles because of the World Cup and trying to schedule it and figure it out, and just because I was working on with him on a daily basis, I was hearing all of his mounting frustrations based on what was happening in his hometown.
His contribution to the track actually condenses some of the points that have been made by political economists and historians who've been speaking on this show with regards to promises of development and the like, which have been betrayed. And it's a really smart contribution.
Exactly. His is by far the most critical of the World Cup, and as one of the main South African voices, that's certainly a very important aspect of the track. But basically, you know, in the conversations that I was having with him, I had my own reservations and also excitement and happiness as well for the fact that the World Cup was going to be in South Africa. I had really wanted to actually be there, but that didn't work out. And so, you know, I'd been paying attention to the controversies and also to you know, a lot of economists and stuff talking about how this could be a really great thing for South Africa as well and for the continent as a whole.
Yeah.
And so when having these conversations with Emil, hearing his perspective, you know, became more and more clear that this was the perspective, not necessarily his perspective as a critical perspective, but just the idea of what young people in Africa and around the world, were their voices in terms of the debate around the World Cup and its pros and cons and everything else really were absent, especially in the creative projects that were coming out.
Yeah.
music projects and whatnot.
One of the things I noticed was that in the very opening of the song, there's a little bit where it's as if somebody's flipping through the radio and you're hearing, you know, Ricky Martin's World Cup anthem. You hear a little bit of, I think it's the FIFA official anthem of the 2010 World Cup. And you know, you can hear the impatience, right, of a listener, like, oh God, not this garbage, not this garbage, not this. And then, right, and then you have that's where your project opens.
It's a response to this main, you know, this huge promotional push and campaign that pushes these songs out there. And you know, I have lots of respect for Kanan, who, as an artist, who's the artist who currently has the World Cup theme song. But we actually had that intro much longer. We had about every World Cup anthem for the past 20 years, a little thing, but then we cut it down. But that was, I'm glad you picked up on that, because I don't know how many people will, but that was like our subtle thing. You know, this is what has been the case every 4 years, and here's a new response that's, you know, from a completely no budget, organic, creative project and collaboration between a whole bunch of people around the world, young, creative people who have never met each other and have different views about the World Cup and different goals with their own art and their verses within the song. And what I love about the track is that it's not a song that's just telling, for example, Emil's from South Africa, or the South African perspective, or a critical perspective, but it goes through the whole gamut of different viewpoints from different places, different continents around the globe, and it creates within a song, within the 12-minute epic song, like you called it, it creates that debate and that dialogue about the World Cup, but through an interesting, creative, and musical way, and from the actual voices who really, you know, are really important to what we're talking about, to the conversation that we're having, and often are not there, are not a part of that conversation, at least on a mainstream news level.
It's been an interesting conversation that's been unfolding, I think, around some of the people who got together to do this radio show, which is the sense of there being this kind of deep countercultural push within football cultures, I guess I'd say, and that there seems to be very little space for the public representation of that vibe and that energy. And that's what I thought a lot of the people who participate in this project actually tap into. Could you say a little bit about how you collected these artists? I mean, I can't imagine that. I mean, in setting out to make a project like this, I think a lot of people would think, well, what are these guys going to have to say about the World Cup, really? Because people tend to presume, actually, a kind of opposition between certainly underground and political music scenes and popular sports cultures, but that's really not the case. So I was wondering, like, how did you find these artists and know that they had something to say about the World Cup?
Well, the good thing is that I don't think in terms, especially specifically with soccer and underground music, and if we're talking about you know, South America and Africa, which dominate the voices that you hear on this song. The good thing is that all of these guys are huge soccer fans and are really excited about the World Cup in general. So basically what we have at Nomadic Wax is we already have a very deep network of artists doing interesting creative work around the world. So from artist activists to Emil to diaspora artists who, for example, like the Minister of Agriculture, who's the first verse on the track, who's a Ghanaian Cote d'Ivoire MC, but who lives in the U.S. And so different kinds of things, people all scattered all across the globe. We have these strong connections with them already.
Yeah.
And then the idea was, okay, so we want to do this song about the World Cup. We want to give everybody everybody from all these different places 16 bars or so to explore this concept and what it means to them and what it means to the people in their country. Because oftentimes rappers especially are seen or can become unofficial and in some cases official spokesmen or spokespeople for communities, especially communities, especially in Africa where country populations are overwhelmingly under the age of 30. So we wanted to take this track and use it as an opportunity for these artists to explore it, and it was quite easy. I mean, we did the track in about a week and a half.
Wow.
It's all via, not a single person was in the same room as another person on the track. I was not at any recording session. I was receiving the tracks, and it's funny because it's amazing that this can happen today, and I really love this about this track as an example. You know, forget about the World Cup, forget about soccer, just look at the way that this was built.
Yeah.
We have all these different, there's 15 MCs, I think 6 or 7 languages.
Yeah.
Everybody's speaking a different language, everyone's in a different country, different continent, different region, and different time zone, and everybody was emailing. We had one beat, which was produced in Brooklyn, New York. Beat was sent out. Everybody recorded their verses, sent those verses back to us. We then sent those to a different DJ and producer, and actually he's one of the MCs on the track, who's in Italy, in Genoa, Italy. He compiled it all on there, and then it was sent back to New York State, where it was mixed and mastered, and then it was sent back to me in D.C., where we started pushing it. So it has this crazy, crazy flight path, I guess you could say.
I hate to pun, right, but it's very nomadic.
Exactly.
Could you say a little bit about Nomadic Wax as a kind of a business model, just for those listeners who are not familiar with your work?
Yeah, Nomadic Wax started initially in the early 2000s, founded by Ben Herson, my business partner, in New York City as a more traditional record label, but to address the void, in especially in the music industry in the U.S., where there was no platform for African music, especially contemporary urban African music and hip-hop.
Yeah.
And so that was his initial goal. But over the past, I guess, 10 years now, that's changed a lot, and we've changed our focus to something that's completely different from the traditional record label format. In fact, we try and avoid that label for what we do as much as possible, and we do much more educational-oriented things with it, with different mediums, from music being one element of that, film and video being another, and putting out projects like these where they're completely organic, collaborative projects for people that allow people to build connections and relationships, artists, creative people, to build connections and relationships all around the world. And
where can listeners go to get a copy of this track, which is called World Cup?
If you go to the Nomadic Wax Bandcamp page, or if you go to nomadicwax.com, there's a link, and it's a free download. You can stream it for free. You can get it and repost it anywhere. And if you download it from the Bandcamp page, you'll get a high-res file.
Okay. Just to wrap up the interview, I wanted to ask you, who are you rooting for?
Man.
Or against.
Well, I was very sad that Senegal did not make it to qualify.
Yeah, if this was the World Cup of Music, they would be definitely for a run.
They would be at the top, exactly. I'm certainly voting for Cote d'Ivoire, and I was so sad to hear about the injury with Drogba, and then I was excited to see them put him in the last couple minutes in the last game, though he didn't seem to do much. But, you know, I hope that they can make it to the next round so that he can really start playing, because especially, you know, he's been very vocal about the World Cup in South Africa, and it's just it's so sad that he hasn't been able to play, really.
I'm definitely rooting for them.
Yeah. I feel like they're, for the African teams, that they have the strongest chances. Yeah. So,
well, I just want to compliment you on your work on this track, because World Cup is a delightful listen, and it's also a refreshing to me World Cup text that actually gives you a sense of what contemporary music looks like and what music of the African diaspora looks like. And
right.
There's nothing Lion King-y about it.
Oh, thanks so much.
That's a reference to the fact that the ESPN theme music was the quote-unquote African choir in it is actually the Broadway cast of The Lion King. So
yeah, I read that. I hadn't realized that. That's really wild.
That's pretty crazy.
That's outrageous.
So. All right. Well, thank you very much. And look forward to listening to and seeing more of your work with Nomadic Wax.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
And ain't no limit to this fun and trickin' under the sun. That's how we kick it, kick it. Sideline the people's views. What we gon' do? They know now that we know truth. After it's all said and done, forget the glamour and glitz. We know what the real Africa is. So what happened next? When they got them guns still pointing at your lip, what happened to the local where them people that enlist?
This is Jennifer Doyle, and I'm the voice behind From a Left Wing, and co-host of The People's Game, and I am here with Mikal Lee, who performs under the name Hired Gun, and he contributes actually my favorite track on Nomadic Wax's World Cup. And one of the reasons why I love this track, Mikal, is you speak so beautifully as someone who played, and I think that the rhythm with which you deliver those lines, to me, that's really evocative of actually running down the pitch with the ball at your feet, and I squealed with delight when I listened to that part of the song. So I was wondering if you could actually talk a little bit about how you responded to the call to actually produce some lines about the World Cup or in response to the World Cup, and how that touched you as both a player and as a musician.
Well, I actually played soccer all the way up and through high school. Unfortunately, my skills with the ball were not that great for college.
Yeah.
But I've always followed the game,
mm-hmm.
and I've been affiliated with Nomadic Wax now for the past about 4 years.
Yeah,
and came to me this year with the World Cup coming, and they had an amazing idea to have artists from all over the world collaborate and speak on the World Cup. So for me, it was just kind of a natural fit, and definitely what I had tried to do was to parallel the art of emceeing with not just the World Cup, but really with just kind of the game itself. And I really wanted to try to capture, the feeling globally about, soccer in general.
Yeah.
Because it is such a celebrated game, more so than it is in the United States, but all over the world. It is by far and away the most popular sport.
Yeah, and could you talk a little bit about your sort of larger music, your larger practice as an artist, and just so that listeners get a sense of where you're coming from?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, I'm affiliated with two organizations. I have my own independent imprint, Fresh Roots Music, and then I am also a part of Steward Entertainment. I'm basically a hip-hop artist based out of Brooklyn, New York, and just been representing Brooklyn for the last 10 years. I'm originally from New Jersey, and just recently released an international album, Skills to Take Brazil.
Oh. Sorry, is that actually directly meant to be about soccer? I mean, it has to be.
No, it's funny. Actually, it's not.
Oh, my God.
my partner and myself, we actually toured Brazil. And it's funny because he's also a former soccer player.
Yeah.
And we just kind of named the tour that. And what ended up happening was we toured southern Brazil, Passo Fundo and Porto Alegre.
Yeah.
And we basically collaborated with several Portuguese hip-hop artists while we were on tour.
Right.
And we turned the collaboration to an album that we just released this past year.
And where can listeners find Skills to Take Brazil?
You can find it on iTunes, you can find it on CD Baby, and you can find it also on Bandcamp if you go to skillstotakebrazil.bandcamp.com.
Oh, great.
You can also find it there.
Thank you.
I also, in the last year, released a solo album, The People's Versus, that's been highly acclaimed. I actually was selected last year, 2009, one of the top 100 up-and-coming artists for independent hip-hop by Herb Magazine. And you can find that also, The People Versus, on iTunes.
Yeah, great.
CD Baby and FreshRootsMusic.com.
FreshRootsMusic.com. So for the last question, I just want to ask you, who are you rooting for?
Oh, I'm rooting for the Super Eagles.
The Super
I'm
Eagles.
Rooting for the Super Eagles. I've been rooting for the Super Eagles since the 90s.
Yeah, excellent.
Rashidi Yakini is one of my all-time favorite strikers. So
yeah, and
Nigeria has been for a long time.
Yeah, Nigeria is great. And you know what? They have one of the most fantastic women's teams. That's one of the reasons why I totally root for the Super Eagles as well. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, great. All right, well, thank you for that interview, Mikhail, and we look forward to hearing more from you, and I'm going to go out and find the skills to take Brazil, because Lord knows I need them.
Excellent.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
Nomadic Wax.
DJ Neil.
Yeah.
McGee. FIFA World Cup
2010.
Sick.
África do Sul.
Africa.
Yeah.
Mundial.
Tout le mundial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
South Africa.
Worldwide, homie.
Fuck no voice.
Welcome to the land of the sand, the birthplace of man. No humans on this planet, be originally African. Woke up in a tent, be nothing but the scam man. Africans, it's time to overstand their master plan. The World Cup's a charade, South Africa's getting played. Big business, that's what's really getting paid. At 63 billion rand of taxes they paid. What profits will the people's investment have made?
Hey yo, my team sparks shit like street cars. Think it takes two, nah, it takes real hard to move in the field. See, I master my turf, even played on dirt road, son, for what it's worth. I represent the red, gold, green, black star. Say open more, man, my own more. Act hard, we can rock under 20 squad or bring the real stars. But you can't take us out with the little red car. So look, referee, I got my eyes on you. I know where you live now, it's like I'm just playing with you. And I say, so much money being spent up on the stadiums. But in the Shanti town, life is hard to just blame them. Oh, Charlie, it's all politics. He's like the Nile Rift, it's the Scientologist. Should have come, we just looking for a pot to piss. Fuck Nouveau, Nomadic Wax, got a lot to give.
A lot to give, comme Gemini, quand on s'active. Rap vive, nos forces vivent, comme l'Afrique du Sud vive. Le mondial, on est loin d'un monde idéal. Le foot et la FIFA n'effaceront pas la haine raciale. Les uns t'apprends le ballon pour des millions, les autres joueront pieds nus, goûteront la chaleur du goudron. Ouais, la haine, la dure réalité africaine. D'un côté l'opulence, de l'autre la décadence humaine. Nomadic Wax, production Franck Nouveau. Gemini représente au micro pour Soweto. Il disait,
le pas Africa, il faut tomber.
Elle a répondu,
quand je viens de fois, je me suis relevé.
Depuis, l'eau a bien coulé sous les ponts. La terre-mère a connu enfin les champions des petits et grands ponts. Abat les armes en somme de fierté. Même dans le drame, on reste fort, on les éperfoie.
L'Algedo, scarto, scarto, l'inversario destro. Sulla maglia porto il mio nome, passo all'esterno.
E pronto per lo scontro a smarcarmi sui laterali. Giuro mai, guarderò gli occhi dei miei avversari.
Sul campo, scarto corto, corro con il cuore in gola.
E parola, la maglia che indossa arriverà in porta.
E ora la massa, un'anime che forma l'onda.
È già storia che torneremo a casa con la coppa.
È un filo che collega la terra ad ogni cultura.
Ed inizia con le porte fatte con la spazzatura.
Una palla al centro dei palazzi tra le mura.
E trasforma il peggio hater nel mio più grande hooligan.
Uno, due,
mio,
due contro il mondo. Solo con l'hip hop
faccio gol al mio sogno.
Solo con l'hip hop
è un coro da stadio. Unisce le nazioni su un tempo di tracce audio.
Bibliodus, palla bari fus. Palla match, عندك لعب فيه وباغي تفوز. ولا عرفت شنو دابا دير بوز. حيت افريكا هاد العام جايب الفوز. احصائيات واحد واحد للنهايه. كلشي باغي يهز يديه من البدايه. 16 8 4 3 شكون اللي غير بحل وشكون اللي يفوز.
جايين جايين ربحوا
فيفا 2010.
جايين جايين ربحوا
هاد العام في افريكا.
جايين جايين ربحوا
كامل مجموع في افريكا.
جايين جايين ربحوا
وقف افريكا.
Game where noble names and hold fame go toe to toe to show. Put a goal through the frame and the net where vets can get vexed to put to shame. Where who's next is what sets the whole world aflame. Who's the best is the aim and the rest are just blessed that they came. You're a fan then you're clinically insane. And the colors of your team are dripping from your veins. We rock boots and don't shoot or hoop in a lane. I used to run the wing with a spring in my step. Put it on my left foot, trap the ball on my chest. But now I manifest with the mic on my breath. So if we ever have to do, it won't be sudden death. Don't test me with this spit. I am Messi on the pitch with a Wayne Rooney grit. Silly blessed with the gift. The U is where I live, but I root for Super Eagles. It's every 4 years, but the passion never leaves you.
Alegria, amor, sentimento, rancor. Revolta, paixão versus dor. Todos unidos num só momento. Etnias, religiões, nacionalidades, gêneros. Gente de todas as idades torcendo no mesmo ritmo, vários corações batendo. Maior tratado de paz da história. Os quatro cantos do planeta comemoram. Rivais disputando vitória sem guerra. O mundo é mesmo uma bola e nos focamos nela. De um lado pra outro, com garra e fé. Estrategicamente, de pé em pé. A quebra do silêncio extinta. Unificando os países que não se comunicam. Num aperto de mão, força, superação. Copa do Mundo é mais que uma competição.
On débarque, ça clap, crie tout bas, même tout haut. On débarque, ça tape, les drapeaux tout haut. On crie notre rage, ça joue, ça bouge. Que ça groupe, panique pas, que ça frappe et puis. East, West, North, South, gagne du choc, gagne du wall. C'est du foot, mon frère, supportel-nel. On joue pour la joie, supportel-nel. L'Afrique a l'honneur, supportel-nel. Ça jongle et ça tourne, l'adversaire part. Crack pas, c'est le game, faut que ça play grave. C'est comme ça, c'est le game, si tu perds c'est pas grave. Le monde applaudit, le sport au rendez-vous. Le fair play, supporter, tout le monde debout. On crie notre joie et la peur de le perdre. On va dans le sud, I witness les rêves. On se bat pour la coupe, une première en Afrique.
Un campo verde, una battaglia fra titani senza tregua. Una guerra combattuta fra i giganti della terra. Uno scontro in popa alla luce dello sport. Un calcio globale al pallone segna gol. Verde, una battaglia fra titani senza tregua. Una guerra combattuta fra i giganti della terra. Uno scontro in popa alla luce dello sport. Un calcio globale al pallone segna gol.
Il Nord Africa tossi, jette le present et dédicace. Le bledo al mondial, yom bouge nahki. Alla galeb, cette année, aïnine, abkete. عم تونسي صنو فيليتش نقعد راسي ديما مرفوع سلاح الكره يا صاحبي الغالب ولا مغلوب سلاح في كل 90 دقيقه تيقى برشا قلوب ممكن من الاربيتراج ممكن ياسر من الكوتشينغ اما سكن ذاك الباسي يبقى عندي الفيلينغ فوتبول ناسيونال نبقى وريزيستيبل في التيران كومباتيبل للفيكتوار هي الزيبل ما كسبوش كي سماونا لي زاك دو كارتاج بكاسيون وباتي على الكره عندنا لاغاج عندنا لومبيونس نتاع الفرجه والفيراج مثال الصفحه الجديده باش نبداو نوفيل باج درابو يبقى عالي نوصل فيه صوتي العنم والمريول تونسي نبقى تونسي
drums keep beating mama Africa is calling write these songs of freedom while I'm dreaming about my stardom I come from a tin sack the size of a toilet drums keep beating mama Africa is calling people are paying keep battling the odds and like in a courtroom begging for a pardon back against time help out when heaven is calling I pull him Miss America you're calling me
let's go don't you be mentioned man I'm coming I got white lion on the loose I'm running press with speed and agility I possess ability, check my analogy, African anatomy. Freedom fighter, dance to the sideline, down the center. Chagas, then wine, dribble the ball to the net. It's cold time, guilty for the bullet when the score. That's my grind. Bicycle and free kicks, my kind. 10 minutes to go, so I shine. I love the game of football, so I'm a real, real football fan. So stand tall.
Millones de ojos atentos todo el mundo viendo como algunos luchan fuerte en la copa. Canteo defensor, domino, cruzo paso, no puedo apuntar. Tu escudo en público, mundo lo ve jugar.
La camiseta mojar, solo pensar en ganar. Cualquier rival derribar, hasta la cima alcanzar. Un país representar, un país de valentar. Millones de voces gritando gol al anotar.
Esto no se trata de una mera rivalidad. La pasión de tanto es la pura verdad. Un planeta, una pelota, un micro, uno de nota. Todos giran, todos ser el campeón que más anota.
Hey, yo, my flow. Like a sponsored uniform when I kick it like soccer. Hey, DJ Neo, I bring the steelo like DJ Drogba from Ivory Coast, coast to coast. Oh, sharp like metal cleats, I'm out the box. Grew up playing barefooted in the ghetto streets. Way before I had a PS or Xbox, like Eto from Pichonville to Soweto. Yeah, tests, I just wish you would. Our World Cup was a glass of champagne glued to a piece of wood. I'm so war zone, I'm naturally hood. This is more than sports, this is tradition. Hard
condition. When your team takes the L, my eyes on the prize and the goal. So I work my magic from worst to hat trick. I triple my worth on earth.
Natural resources are pillars and they diminish. Searching for a will that becomes unknown to be fitted. Trying to get this dough is the goal. There ain't no limit to this money tricking under the sun. That's how we kick it. Kick it. Sideline the people's views. What we gon' do? They know now that we know truth. After it's all said and done, forget the glamour and glitz. We know what the real Africa is. So what happened next? When they got them guns still pointing at your neck, what happened to the local where them people that enlist? Grand Panem sipping their G5 jet, stealing at the threat, war president, killing at the women and their children evidence. They more concerned with the goal in at the net. VIP stand man, one Doris. When my homies,
I need this. This is gonna be Lena. Nouveau chapitre que déjà exauce toutes nos prières. Et l'Afrique accueille la groupe planétaire. Football ou soccer, on s'en fout, mais pas des hier. Car de Ouagasso et Do, des grandes métropoles et même dans tous les ghettos, les parents ont baqué sur nous et on respire. J'ai le meilleur gang, mais s'il vous plaît, pas des hier. Tout développer, comment laisser ces gens organisés. Coupe mondiale, au plus de voler. Ils veulent nous couper, mais on va décaler. Man, trop bosser, faut se faire indexer.
The attention of the world gathered for the wrong reason. It's the long, cold-hearted capitalist season, where basic human freedoms violated for money. In the land of gold, we chase a gold cup that's funny. Suddenly money changes, never and ever again. Never say never, the same money's running everything. Where koi and sand bodies hung impaled and battered is where they built the stadium and 4 billion got flattered. But we'll foot the bull just to foot their ball. On the graves of our ancestors, how can we stand tall? Here hegemony erases the memory of the sand and lands in players to get played by the man. The scams like yes we can stand distracting nations, subduing revolution for media mind occupation. When FIFA's money making machine moves on, as Africa finally the world respects on.
Provocando verde una battaglia fra titani senza tregua. Una guerra combattuta fra i giganti della terra. Uno scontro pop alla luce dello sport. Un calcio globale al pallone segnatore. Verde una battaglia fra titani senza tregua. Una guerra combattuta fra i giganti della terra. Uno scontro pop alla luce dello sport. Un calcio globale al pallone segnatore.
Welcome to the land of the sand, the birthplace of man. All humans on this planet be originally African. Woke up 2010, be nothing but the scam man. Africans, it's time to overstand their master plan. The World Cup's a charade, South Africa's getting played. Big business, that's what's really getting paid. At 63 billion rand of taxes they raid, what profits will the people's investment have made?